Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, how to ask for advice. Here we go. Well, Mark, this is an interesting topic. Hopefully people won't misinterpret us because this could appear as completely self-serving, right? Because we get asked for advice all the time. And some people do it really, really well. And unfortunately, some people do it poorly. And they probably don't get the results they'd like. And we're sure that these same people are asking other mentors, other people they respect, other people with information that they like to have for advice. And it kills us to think that they're visiting what they do to us on other folks and perhaps not getting great results with them as well. And so let's talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, there really is a shocking lack of understanding about the etiquette of asking advice. I will say this. Many people have heard me say this, either at conferences or if we had a chance to talk on the phone, that we are asked for advice often, but we do not give advice. We make recommendations. I'm not a big fan of advice per se, but in the vernacular, people do ask us for advice in all different which ways. Email is a common way, and frankly, people do it poorly. And we get it often enough that we don't want to scold anybody. We just want to say, gosh, let's not have them do it that way to anybody else, and then get either don't get an answer at all and irritate somebody, or just plain irritate somebody. Simple as that. I mean, there's a right way to do it, and people ought to know how, and it's not hard.
So what are we going to talk about today? What are the specific, what's the outline of recommendations today?
We've got 5 points we want to make, and the first two are a little bit of preparatory, but they're really important. If you get these, it's so much easier to follow our recommendations. So number one, remember, no one owes you anything. There's this assumption that when people ask, they should get an answer, and that the other person should, by definition, be open to giving advice or recommendations, as we like to say. And the fact is, it's not a requirement. You certainly hope for it, but the expectations, I think, are a little bit high. People get irritated when they don't get an answer, and sometimes it's not because the person doesn't want to. It's a function of timing or what have you. So nobody owes you anything, okay? The second thing is, please decide you're going to be open-minded. One of the most frustrating things that happens to people who are routinely asked for advice or guidance or recommendations is they're asked a question, and then when they answer it candidly, straightforwardly, they get caveats and changes and so on, which are often perceived as trying to get the answer, the questioner trying to get the answer they want, and that's not the right way to be, and that will also irritate the mentor or the person who's being asked for advice. The way to do it, step three, is bluff, bottom line up front, and then give additional detail. That's so important to ask your question up front. And then, of course, 4 and 5 are say thank you and follow up. Really, really simple.
We've noticed as we've progressed throughout our careers that the moment somebody's successful, right, the moment you know something about something that others find mysterious, like interviewing, for example, one is seen as a source of knowledge, right? And that's true, right? We have some unique experiences, and we are a source of knowledge, and others are sources of knowledge.
And frankly, it's a great part of the joy of the work of Manager Tools, right? So one of the reasons why we do the podcast is we don't want to hold on to this information. We want to share it.
Yeah. But folks, when they ask us for some of this knowledge, the way they do it is, frankly, just impolite.
Yeah, and again, this is going to come across selfish, so let me just put that differently. I've had other people say to me, Mark, I know you don't know anything about X, but surely you know somebody who does. And I say, sure, please talk to this friend of mine. And then my friend calls me back a week later and said, who is that guy you sent over? I mean, he was rude. He did this, he did this, he did this. And so it was, so we're not just doing this to protect ourselves, we're also doing it for everyone to learn how to take care of this simple career school. It's a career tool, right? It is amazing, though, how often of the hundreds of thousands of questions we've answered and how many times we've seen other people asked that so rarely do we hear a phrase like, would you mind answering a question for me? With a question mark at the end, or do you have time to answer a question for me? You know, email and mobile phones make it worse. the phone rings and somebody just says, all right, hey, I have a situation, I need an answer. And or another example is an email comes in, it's 10 o'clock at night, and the next morning, 8 a.m., because you haven't answered it yet, because of time zone differences or whatever, you've got another email hard on its heels wondering why you haven't gotten an answer.
Yeah. It's like they're demanding an answer. And in that demand imply that somehow we owe them an answer.
Yeah. We owe not only sharing our knowledge with all of mankind, right, hypothetically, if you have a podcast, but that we owe it to that individual at that time.
Who we've never met.
We've never met, right? We've never corresponded with. And right now, frankly, based on their tone and their demeanor, we don't really want to.
Wasn't Wendy telling you the other day that one of her friends told her, well, if you don't ask, you don't get.
Right.
So, in this case, people are just asking, right?
Right. And you know, I think what she said was, you know, he asked for outrageous things and he often gets them. The problem, of course, with that is it works for him the first couple, two, three times, right? And after that, his friends, relatives, and other people who begin to learn what his shtick is begin to feel taken advantage of. And they wonder, what's in it for me, right? This guy just comes and gets information from me and I don't feel like there's a reciprocity. I don't feel like we have a relationship. And then they begin to feel like, I don't know that guy anything. I might feel obligated professionally to help somebody out, but not when I'm taken advantage of repeatedly.
Yeah.
You say something. You always say, they're entitled to ask, but they're not entitled to an answer. I make that too complicated by saying you're entitled to a truthful answer to any question to which you're entitled an answer.
Right.
Your comment about they're entitled to ask, but not, they're not necessarily entitled to an answer, it's true of questions in general other than just the ones about advice.
Right. And it would be nice if the person asking the question acknowledge that. If they're asking you for free advice in particular, it'd be nice if they simply acknowledge the fact that you don't necessarily owe them an answer.
It's their prerogative, right?
Yeah. You want to answer the question, but you also want to feel as if you have the opportunity to say no because of time or travel or whatever the circumstances.
Right. And if somebody's going to ask for your time and not give you any benefit in return that you're aware of, right? I think that requires a modicum of courtesy, a bit of etiquette, right? And the art of asking and getting what you want is to acknowledge to the person you're asking that they're busy and they don't know you and therefore doesn't owe you anything specifically. And if we give them an escape by acknowledging that they may not have time to answer our question, we're much more likely to get our question answered. Right?
Yes.
Don't expect an answer and don't give the impression that you expect an answer by just launching into a question without politely asking first.
Right. And if you're able to reciprocate in some way, right? I mean, it could be as simple as buying somebody a cup of coffee or publicizing their mission, right? Like, for example, our podcast, something like that. I mean, that showing of appreciation is enough, frankly, to make the person feel less like an ATM machine handing out cash to folks, right?
Right, yeah. It's great to say thank you, to be appreciative, and that's all they need. But if you're gracious in the way you ask, that getting that graciousness makes the advisor just feel better about the exchange.
Right. Yeah. They feel good about it.
And look, asking for help in general, this is my experience, and I could not have said this 5 years ago because I just didn't know it then. The problem about asking for help in general really isn't the people who have information and won't share it. There are some people who know things and believe it's a competitive advantage, so they're not going to share it with you. But, you know, the people that know things and are withholding it are really not that big a percentage of the population. Maybe they're not 1%. Maybe they're 10%. Maybe on a bad day, it's one of every four. It's 25% of the population. But look, they're definitely not 40% of the population. And they're sure as hell not over 50% the way people seem to say, well, I wouldn't want to ask a question because nobody's willing to give up that kind of information. That's just wrong. The problem isn't that others aren't willing to help us. The problem often, quite often, most often in my experience, is the questioner's own pride about asking the question essentially admits to the rest of the world and those around him who care and could be influenced by what you know or don't know, it admits that I don't know the answer.
Of course, they already know that.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Right. Yeah. What you say at conferences that don't worry managers about rolling out the Trinity and worrying that because you're going to stumble over some of this stuff that your directs are going to laugh at you, because as you say, trust us, they're already laughing at you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
At least let's have them laugh at something headed in the right direction. And the same concept is true about asking questions. The fact is people already know what you don't know, or they have a pretty good sense of it anyway, right? The question is not whether you're admitting you don't know. The question really is, are you confident enough to admit you don't know? If you've never been fired, you may not be able to understand it. But frankly, it's not as bad as you think. Pretty quickly, most of us worry about what other people will think when we've been fired. And there's this tendency to avoid telling anyone. But over time, everybody overcomes that usually. And you tell somebody, and if you're forthright with them, if you're candid with them, it's a bit like Indiana Jones being shot in that first Raiders of the Lost Ark movie. You know, he almost thought he was shot, and he looked down thinking a bullet had just hit him, but in fact it hasn't, and he wasn't shot, right? And you suddenly realize, wow, okay, it's not as bad as I thought. And our recommendation here is to get over your fear and ask people, and don't blame them for hoarding information unless you're willing to ask.
Right. And if you're willing to ask, right? If you're willing to ask the question, then for God's sake, you got to be open-minded about the answers you may get.
This is Wendy and my particular pet peeve. And again, folks, we're not writing this cast to make you better members of Manager Tools and to ask us questions the right way. Sure, this benefits us if everybody learns it, but this applies across the board to asking for advice, asking for guidance, asking for mentorship in a small way in one of the cases. We're asked a certain question, particularly Wendy and I, and we give an answer drawing on, you know, our life experiences and our experiences and professionally and so on. And the person who asks then says, well, but that's not right. Or in general, the watchword is the word but. If they begin their next sentence or if they start their answer with but, it makes me and Wendy absolutely want to scream.
Yeah, it makes no sense, right?
Yeah.
You ask this question because you thought they had more knowledge than you in this particular area, right? And then they give you an answer, and your first response is, well, but.
Yeah, exactly, right? You wouldn't ask them if you didn't think they knew more than you or had a different perspective. Obviously, that'd be pointless, right? So why, when someone gets an answer they don't want to hear or an answer they disagree with, why would you argue with the person you've asked for the information from? It's not just rude. It's worse than that. It says something about you that makes us feel stupid, the people who give the advice, makes us feel stupid for giving you our time rather than some other person who's not afraid to be wrong or some other task that helps, say, us, right? I mean, we could be doing something else that's beneficial to us, but we're not. We're spending time with you. And then for us to take the time and then for you to disagree when, in fact, you don't know a great deal comes across in a very unprofessional way to many, many senior people, particularly in organizations when they're being asked to mentor somebody or to answer a big picture question or something.
And it certainly makes you, when you get that kind of pushback from somebody who doesn't know much about this particular area, you give them some advice and then they push back on you, it certainly makes you feel like more willing to give them advice in the future, right? To re-engage with them, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Look, if you disagree with the answer you get from someone, and so you then refine the situation you put out in front of them, or you actually refute the logic underpinning the answer you got, the people who have the knowledge that you're going to want at some point in the future as well will immediately decide to be less open with you in the future. Don't ask somebody, even if they're your peer, don't ask somebody to validate your point of view. Either believe in yourself and save us the time, or be open to other thoughts. And if they're in a position where they should know more than you, we're assuming that their answer has more credibility than anything you come up with on your own.
Right. So before you even ask for advice, just decide you're going to be open-minded. whatever you're doing isn't working. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking for the advice. And there are a million different approaches to any problem, a good percentage of which will work, right? There's multiple answers,
right.
Any of them which would work. So it's possible that the approach that your advisor is giving you will, in fact, work, even though it sounds ludicrous to you. Or worse, it doesn't sound ludicrous. It just challenges your assumptions and the actions that you're willing to take.
Yeah. You know, look, we all know that the key to losing weight is to eat less and exercise more. But there's thousands of diet books in every bookstore because we're all looking for a shortcut. But that said, that doesn't mean the advice isn't right. So when you get an answer, consider it. You don't have to do anything with it right away. Put it in the back of your mind and leave it there to stew a little bit if you want, right? But even if you're not going to do something with it right away, although we will say that doing something with an idea right away cements your knowing of it. But look, acknowledge that in asking for advice, you may hear things you don't want to hear or you don't want to acknowledge, and you have to be prepared to be open-minded about whatever it is you hear. I'm just telling you, there is nothing more frustrating than being asked for your advice and the person telling you you're wrong. It makes you wonder. I mean, I say to myself, why am I doing this? Why do I bother listening? I mean, they're not going to be polite in the way they ask. And then when I tell them my point of view, they're going to
tell you you're wrong.
Yeah, tell me I'm wrong or you don't understand. It's clear they're trying to steer me into agreeing with them or you know, assembling recommendations to fit the facts and evidence on the ground. It's just crazy.
Crazy. Our next point is we got to talk about this because we just absolutely love this. And it's one of these opportunities where we get double the joy of reading the story you want to share with us. See, what you do is you tell us the story and we read through 3, 4, 5 paragraphs or 3, 4, or 5 pages of background story. And then at the very end, you say, and my question is X. Now, of course, we didn't know what the question was when we read through the story. So we get the honor and the privilege and the joy of reading the story. Now that we know the question, of reading the story so we know what the selling points are.
Yeah. I am amazed. I mean, I have joked before at conferences. The third out of 4 sentences in the 11th paragraph of a thank you note / something else that we got once had a question in it. 11th paragraph, 3rd sentence out of 4 in the paragraph, the 3rd sentence was the question that he wrote the entire email about. All that information was helpful, but I literally missed a question the first time through because I do have high D in me, folks. The person was frustrated. I'm like, well, look, with a question buried there in your narrative, there's no way I'm going to get to it. So yeah, what we want to do is we want to give bluff, B-L-U-F, bottom line up front. And for when you're asking for advice, bluff means putting your question right at the top so that as the mentor, as the advisor reads your email or listens to you, they understand what they're listening to. The things that may be important to you aren't important to them at all. And they need to assess those things in order to be sure they're giving you the right advice.
Right.
So a question like, should I move to Wichita? Well, if I know that that's the factor, then I put in my brain, if in fact somebody asked me that question, I put in my brain, what are the various factors at Wichita? And actually, should I move to Wichita is a good one because I had a story once. A guy called me and he was in Seattle. He worked for Boeing and the company was moving to Chicago, and he told me this long story about Boeing and Chicago and machinists and union and engineer and on and on and on and on and on. And he's just not sure about the market, but he loves Chicago. And then he said, so should I move to Wichita? And you have to be a little bit of an aficionado of the aircraft business in America to know that Wichita is a hotbed of aeroplane manufacturing capability and capacity, but he never mentioned it. And you just want to shake your head and go, I thought I was going to answer a career question about your engineering and where you're going next and so on. But no, he immediately said, should I move to Wichita? And I'm serious. I looked at it. I just wanted to shake the computer. Like, I cannot believe I just read this story and then I'm being asked about whether or not somebody should move. you know, I'm tempted, and it was a little bit of black humor, I admit it, to go, yes, if it's farther away from me and they don't have phones. But another one, look, my boss undermines me. Should I confront him? Well, okay, that depends. And I can't know how to, if I get that at the bottom, I have to go back and read it through again to figure out, you know, what are the salient points? My directs argue during feedback. What should I do? Same thing. You've got to put the bottom line up front. And then you can add more detail. Look, the questions we mentioned about moving to Wichita, or, you know, should I confront my boss, or my directs argue, what should I do? You can't answer those questions without a lot more information. I know I can't. But the thing is, whoever you're asking doesn't need all of the information that you think you want to share with them, right? Because that's one of the reasons you've asked them, is because they're smart enough to see the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. Beginning with the problem you need solved, in other words, bottom line up front, allows your mentor, or your advisor, your counselor to direct the conversation into the areas he or she needs more information on. And it also could greatly reduce the length of the story. I mean, the number of times you've seen me at conferences say to people, no. They start to ask questions. I said, no. Okay, next. Everybody kind of titters and laughs. And I say, no, that's the right answer. The answer is no. He asked me, should I do X? And the answer was, based on what I know about him, no. And everybody acts as if that's a big problem. It's kind of funny. So the things that you consider vital, the important details in your story, may not be important to the person who's the advisor or the counselor. Remember, you don't know how to solve this problem. By definition, your assessment of what's important and what's not is suspect. And that's okay, but the way we get around that is you tell us up front what your question is, and then we listen for the things that we know are most important. And if we don't hear them, we ask questions about them.
Right. And then the advisor, mentor, whatever, can dismiss the information that's not important. As you're going through the story, know what the question is. They can dismiss the information out of their head. They can put it out of their head, the stuff that's not important, and retain that stuff in their head that is important to answer your question.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Then here's a simple idea. I don't know if you've thought about this before, but I found when folks ask for my advice or something, and then I help them, you know, what's really kind of cool is when they say, thank you.
Yeah. Newsflash, thank you is a fabulous set of words. And yes, please, thank you, maybe the four best words together in the English language ever. It doesn't matter whether we think the advice we're getting is going to be useful or not. We always say thank you. And look, some of you are probably sitting there right now going, wait a minute, this person gave me really poor advice. Or the one I hear a lot, I already knew what he told me. Okay.
Well, we're not saying thank you for the content of the advice necessarily. We're saying thank you for taking the time to hear my question, to hear my story, and be willing to give me an answer based upon your experience, right? So it's not necessarily the content of the answer that we're thanking them for.
Yeah, exactly. I am surprised how many people aren't thankful because they disagree. And you're thanking them first for their time and secondly for their knowledge. And oftentimes, again, you may disagree with the answer, and it's only because you don't know enough to understand how spot on the advice might be.
Right, or you chose the wrong advisor, right? Or you didn't frame the question properly.
Yeah.
There's a number of reasons why you may not have gotten the answer that you think you needed. Frankly, you may not understand it enough to know that you actually did get a good answer.
Yeah, exactly.
You just don't believe it.
Look, what we're saying thank you for is that the advisor is willing to take the time to listen to us, that he or she is willing to share their knowledge with us, that this person was willing to give us his best, right, in terms of listening carefully and giving us his best answer he can come up with, even though he really truly owed us nothing, and it takes that saying please, asking politely, and then obviously in terms of respecting them, the bottom line up front. So you always say thank you, and you always do it sincerely.
Yeah.
And look, people don't do it, right? Email advice seekers are the worst, right? They send us an email, ask a question to which we spend time crafting a careful reply, making sure we cover all the caveats because we don't have all the information. We send it off into the cloud and nothing comes back.
Yeah, nothing at all. just silence.
Yeah, I have a feeling that there are a lot of emails up in those clouds in the sky, right?
Yeah, yeah. We have no idea whether this missive we wrote has been even received. No idea whether the advice was helpful or somebody did anything with it.
Right.
You know, just a one-liner email, just thank you for taking the time to answer my question. That'd be good.
Yeah. It's not really enough, but it's a start.
It'd be a start.
Yeah. Say thanks. And then last, we got to follow up, right? We did a cast recently about, I think, training budgets, and we said that following up on things and closing off open loops in terms of tangents and things that are important but not critical, those things are the true signs of a professional, right? Look, when you are asking for advice, the advisor you're talking to feels that he or she has a vested interest in your situation. If they don't, they'll tell you no, right?
Yeah, he wants to know how it turned out.
Exactly, yeah. So you've got to close the loop. Otherwise, they are left with, after answering your question, after going out of their way for you, they're left with this vague sense of unease and discomfort that, well, I hope that turned out good. Maybe you ignore me when we got five pieces of advice and I was the only one that was different. Yeah, it helps you ask them in the future, and it also helps them be motivated to answer you and others in the future.
Yeah, and don't make it complicated. You don't have to. You don't have to write a missive back about you did this and this worked and that. Just send it. Send an email. Leave a voicemail.
Right.
Even if the situation was overcome by events, or you didn't use his advice in the end, follow up and let him know how things panned out.
Yeah.
If nothing else, it's going to make your advisor feel good about it, right? And frankly, if you want to be self-interested about this, make the person more likely to give you advice in the future.
Yeah, exactly. Get more of what you want in the future. Yeah. Following up deepens your relationship with the person you're asking. And the deeper the relationship, the more likely you are to get what you want in the future.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
Really simple. And I'll just wrap up because it was so quick, so painless, hopefully. You can go back to doing something more interesting than listening to us, right? But nobody ever owes you anything. And you've got to be willing to be open-minded. And when you're told something very different, if you believe you've chosen your advisor well, then you clearly don't know enough to evaluate their answer. And you just have to accept it at face value while being thankful. When you ask, make sure you ask your question right up front so all the information, all the details are in the context of the question, because a smart advisor can separate the wheat from the chaff on the fly. And then, of course, you got to say thank you and you got to follow up. Close the loop. Make sure people know how it turned out. Not hard. But for a young person who really does have an interest in asking questions and overcoming more quickly their weaknesses, if you will, this is a no-brainer, easy to do, and what it does is it doesn't burn bridges.
Yeah.
This is the anti-bridge building cast, particularly for those of you just starting out in your careers, because this is going to happen over and over again. If you get the wrong reputation, you're done.
If you don't want to ask people advice and you don't want to learn from the experience of others, you're going to have to live 100 lifetimes to get enough knowledge to be successful.
Yeah,
you're not going to do that. So
right.
You're going to have to ask people for advice. You're going to have to get mentors. And so you might as well learn how to do it appropriately and correctly and professionally.
Right.
So you'll be able to avail yourself of those opportunities.
Another thing I like about manager tools and career tools stuff is that once they know it, they know it, and they don't have to think of a new way to ask every time, right? This is the way to do it every time. And the process of asking becomes not another hurdle. It's just a matter of getting the content of the question and giving enough details after that to make it easy for a mentor, an advisor, or a counselor to answer the question fully. If you follow this process, it's easier for you every time you ask.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we encourage you to ask, as we said. Don't worry that they're laughing at you. Don't worry that they might laugh at you because you don't know it. They're already laughing at you.
Great. All right, my friend.
Thanks, partner.
Thank you.